All right, let's begin. We are finishing the chapter on spiritual warfare. We already covered who God is. We already covered that God and Satan are not at war, that God is already victorious. And we're starting to cover that God has angels that work with him. They are godly beings that were created to do his working and his bidding. We also started talking about Satan and how Satan is different from God. I think that's extremely important because if you don't know the difference, then you equate them as equals. God and Satan are not equals, not even close. God is the creator of Satan. Satan was one of the how many? Three what? Archangels. The first one is? Michael, who was a? Very good. The warring angel. The second one is? Who is the? Messenger angel. And the third one was? Lucifer, son of the morning. And his job was simple. His job was music. He didn't orchestrate music. He was music. How he moved created music. His whole life created worship. That's who he was. And we've already talked last week about in the book of Ezekiel chapter 28 and Isaiah chapter 14, when he said, I will raise myself up above God and I will be like God. So pride was the very essence of the fall of Lucifer. Now, many people said to me, do angels have free will? We can see clearly angels had free will once. Not twice, once. And so angels had the free will to follow Satan or to follow God. And in that choice, that was the seal forever. And it's important that we recognize that Satan himself is already defeated. Luke chapter 10, Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Don't rejoice that the devils are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's book of life. You see, as a believer, Satan is no match for you, because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. There is no fight between you and Satan. He's already defeated. So many people say, well, I'm fighting the devil. I'm glad you are. I already won. You know, if you want to start swinging into the shadows, go ahead. All I got to do is say the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is more powerful than any demon spirit, even Satan himself. We talk about the blood. The blood of Jesus defeated every demonic entity that there is. Knowing that God is so different and so supernaturally powerful over Lucifer is very, very important to grasp. We know that Satan is not all-knowing. He only knows what you tell him. He doesn't know your thoughts. That's why some of you talk too much. Stop telling Satan so much. I had this person I was dealing with, and they were dealing with some anxiety. And so they ran around saying, boy, I'm anxious all the time. I'm anxious all the time. And I said, and you always will be. Why? Because you just gave Satan that opportunity to do whatever he wants with you. You just gave him the ammunition to work in your life. He didn't know you were feeling anxious until you told him. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. You see, you should never be anxious. Anxiety is not from the Lord. It is from Satan. Anxiety has a root in fear. And the Bible says in the book of 1 John that perfect love casts out all fear. So when you run around, you tell Satan things. Listen, it's one thing to think it. It's another thing to say it. Because Satan only knows what you tell him. Don't give him ammunition. Satan is not all powerful. He is not like God the Father. He does have supernatural power. He can do supernatural things, but he cannot create. He can only try to imitate. That's powerful. The devil always tries to imitate what God has done. We've heard about demon possession, right? Well, whose plan was that? Well, that was God's plan. That wasn't the devil's plan. God's plan was to come in and live inside of a man. God's plan was that we become the temple of the Holy Spirit. And Satan took and tried to imitate and imitates through that same process of possession. If you're born again tonight, say, I'm possessed. No, really, though, if you're born again, you're possessed. Well, did you not ask Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life? Yes. Doesn't the Bible say that I'll come in with him and sup with him and he with me? Yes. Doesn't the Bible say that you now become the temple of the Holy Spirit? Yes. Doesn't the Bible say you go from death to life, darkness to light? Doesn't the Bible say that he dwells within your spirit man? So you are possessed. So all of this is so important for us to recognize that Satan is not all powerful. Satan can only do, in fact, if you're a believer in the room, the only power Satan has over you is what you grant him. He has no authority in your life. He has no power in your life, but what you allow him to work in your life is very, very, very important. And this is why the words of your mouth, the seeds of your mouth, produce harvest. Because if you tell Satan that you're having issues, you tell Satan that you're battling, and all of a sudden you've empowered him. You've empowered him to work in your life. Remember, God's first words were creative and blessing. Adam's first words were blessing. Satan's first words were contrary or contrasting to the word of God. And Eve's first words, and to find him, sorry, it was rattling around in there somewhere. He had to move it this right way. Eve's first words were agreeing against God. So the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart should be acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to agree with the word. So when we do not agree with the word, what we're actually doing is empowering Satan to work in our lives and to manifest his supernatural power, which he has, supernatural power, in our lives to challenge and to work against us. See, I just choose not to give him any power. Oh, you're all quiet tonight. That's all right. Satan can only be at one place at one time. He can't be everywhere. So whenever somebody says, well, the devil's beating me up. Well, it's probably not the devil himself, unless you're very, very, very special. It's probably one of his cronies, one of his little demons, one of his little imps. We know that there are different levels, and we're going to get into that, different levels of the demonic. And in the different levels of demonic, they have different authorities within the demonic realm. And depending on your status in the spirit, and it doesn't mean the title, but the status in the spirit and the authority you have in the spirit, that would recognize on what level of demonic activity would happen in your life. In the pastoral ministry and ministry, fivefold ministry gifts, they have far more supernatural adversity than people that are just coming and hanging out in church and leaving on a Sunday morning and not really strongly following the Lord. So there are different levels of spiritual activity on this earth. We also talked that Satan is always changing. He's lying and he's always deceiving. He is not faithful to his servants. He is the father of lies, John chapter 8, verse 44. We know that Satan has a passion. We're running through this because we touched this a few weeks ago. That his whole job is simple. He is a thief and he's come to steal, kill, and destroy. That's all he does. Now he might, as an angel of light, mask it at start. But you always know that at the ending, there will be loss. The devil never comes to benefit you for your whole life. He will benefit you for a while, and once he owns you, he will destroy you. That is his job. I've given the example before about the friend of mine. His name is Lenny Engman from New England. Lenny Engman, he went on mission trips to Haiti. And there are different places in Haiti. Way back when, before the earthquakes, Haiti's national god was Satan. I don't know if you knew that or not. That was their national god. They were Luciferians. And so what was happening was the missionaries would go in, and they'd go into the upper parts or the way back jungle and minister to different colonies and different villages in the area. And one day, Lenny and this crew came to as far as they could go with a vehicle, and so they stopped the vehicle, and there's a trail they had to go up a few hours through the jungle to get to the village they were going to go to. And as they parked the vehicle, down walked a woman. Long hair, dress, facial hair, and turned out to be, it wasn't a woman, it was a man, it was an actual witch doctor. Now, for those who just like the song, witch doctor, it is really real. They really do release curses. They really do have pincushions. They really do have zombies. Those things are real. They're not fake. They're very real. Just Americans, we've been so televised and desensitized that we don't believe in the supernatural. But if you go to the third world country, you'll recognize it really quick, especially if you're a weak Christian, because the demons will take good care of you. And so all of a sudden they saw this the witch doctor coming down. When the witch doctor got closer, the witch doctor had boils all over his skin. And he said in his creole, he said, "Look what my master has done to me." He is throwing me away. And he served Satan. And when Satan was done with him, he literally had boils where flies were landing in the boils. And he was scratching it and trying to keep them as healed as possible. But literally, he knew that his master was done. The devil's come to steal, kill, and destroy. He might bait you with something pretty. He might bait you with a man. He might bait you with a woman. He might bait you with money. He might bait you with popularity. He'll bait you, but always know that when you gotta pay the till, when you gotta pay the and reconcile your life, the devil's come to steal, kill, and destroy you. And if he gets you to go against the word of God, he will destroy you. And you'll end up in eternity with him rather than eternity with God. God has a design. God is love. Satan has a design. Satan is hate. So we know that these are the principles. Satan will always strive to steal what Jesus paid for. That is, he'll always strive to steal your relationship with God. Have you heard me say 1,000 times? There's no greater trophy for Lucifer than one who once served God. And know this, the one who once served God that ends up in the lake of fire, the torment will be greater than the one who never knew him. If that doesn't scare the hell out of you, something should. Because honestly, that is real. Remember, the greatest torment of the lake of fire, the greatest torment of hell, remember, hell is the holding tank, lake of fire is the worst end of the stick, where there's no way out. Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, that God, who those that names are not written in the Lamb's book of life, will be cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. And they'll never have opportunity to be in the presence of the Lord again. Even in hell, there's an element of presence of God. We know that according to the book of Psalms 139, I believe. Wait, did you see that? I had to look. Well, I believe it's 139 where it says, even in hell, there you are. But in the lake of fire, the presence of God will never be again. And the worst part about eternity separated from the Lord is the reality of never forgetting every opportunity that you had to receive Christ, and that Christ did not put you there, but you put yourself there because you love the world more than you love God. And you allowed the thief to steal, kill, and destroy your eternal life. Therefore, you put yourself there. And watch now. You will never get out. The worst parts about the lake of fire is loneliness. You will never be with another human being again, ever. You will never be in the presence of God ever again. You will never, ever, ever sleep. You will never, ever, ever rest. Your flesh will be eaten by worms and will be burned by phosphorus fire, but yet it will never be consumed. It is constant agony, constant pain, constant awakeness, no rest, no peace, no sleep, no food, no nothing, just you living in your eternal separation from God, and no one puts you there but you. Now that sucks. Yeah, it really is. You know, there are people I just want to, you know, run up and shake. Are you stupid? Are you stupid? You know, if you recognize what's going to happen, what are you, stupid? The cost is so grand that nothing on this earth, everything on this earth, should pale the fear of the Lord in the aspects of never wanting to be separated from God with Satan. Remember what hell was made for. The lake of fire was not made for people. It was made for Lucifer and his angels. So every human that ends up there ends up in the wrong place, but the only one who placed them there is themselves. You know, our life here is very short. We all know that, right? How many here are at least 45? 50? We got 60. Anybody got 60? Anybody 60? 70? Is anybody 70? Up. Oh, wow, really? Boy, you're a hot-looking chick for 70 years old. That's all I know. That's right. My mother's 72. 75? Do we have a 75 in the room? Do we have a 75 in the room? No? Phew. You're 74? Does everybody know, I almost just lost her. I just lost her last name. Ma, I always call her Ma. She's I think, 84 or 85. No, maybe she's older than that. Yeah, no. Ma. Close enough. Yeah. Thank you. Okay, I feel better now. So, Ma, I think she's like, I think she's 84, 85 years old. But you know, it doesn't matter. Time goes by quick, man. And we waste so much time playing with the devil, playing with the foolishness of this world. Can you imagine how many people have been lost because you have been lost? But you still carry the tag? Jesus tag, you know what I mean? But you haven't lived for God? How many people have died and gone to the lake of fire because you have not done and fulfilled your call and purpose? All right, let's move on. Satan tries to steal three things. Number one, relationship with Jesus. Number two, he tries to steal your family. Anytime you see a anytime you see separation in a family, you automatically know it's demonic. Let me say it one more time. Anytime you see activity to separate a family, it's always demonic. Why is that? Well, because heaven is the mirror of the earth. Family is the mirror of heaven. He is our heavenly Father. Jesus is our elder brother. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are part of the household of faith. God created heaven to be family. And what happens is the devil hates families. The devil despises families. He wants to destroy your family. He'll do everything to bring separation in your family. Why will he do that? Because he knows the power of agreement. And when a husband and a wife and a family get to the place spiritually where they understand this prayer of agreement, the power of agreement, there's nothing that can hold them back. I want to remind you what God said to the Tower of Babel, the people, they were building the Tower of Babel, and this is what God said. He says, because they're in agreement, there's nothing they can't do. Let me say it one more time. Because they're in agreement, you should get excited about that, because I just, you know, I did. So, because they're in agreement, there's nothing they can't do. So what happens spiritually with families and why Satan wants to destroy the family, because a husband and wife that are in agreement, there's nothing they can't do. So he's constantly striving to cause division. And you know, divorce is very powerful. Because what divorce does is divorce, if there are children involved, children pay an enormous price in divorce. And the struggle of that is that they need to get healed up. Now listen, if you are in this class and you are divorced and you need healing, we are running a class. How many weeks have you been now? First week, we just started divorce care. I'd encourage you, starts at 6 o'clock, right? 6? 5:30 to 7. 5:30 to 7, right on the other side. I'd encourage you, if you're divorced and you've not been healed up yet, before you ever get in another relationship, you need to get healed. Two halves don't make a whole. So I'd encourage you to take the class on divorce care next door. The next thing that the devil tries to do is steal your health. Sickness is never from God. Everybody say that out loud with me. Sickness is never, never from God. It is never from God. Now, sickness isn't always satanic. Sometimes I was riding my ATV the first day of deer season about 4 years ago, and I went over a log with a deer on the back of the ATV heading back to the truck, and my ATV decided not to stay on all four but to roll. So I jumped, and as I jumped, my left foot planted deep into the ground, and my body kept going as I heard it go, snap! Ow. And when I got up, I felt my knee go, because there was no more ACL. It didn't just disappear. It's not even in the pictures. It's gone. And I immediately had to puke and pee at the same time. It's a horrible sensation. It is a horrible sensation. And so, yeah, it's horrible. I'm just trying to tell the truth. I'm sorry. And let me tell you, that the devil didn't make my ATV roll over. That log with a little bit of frost on it, I lost control and it rolled the ATV. But yet there are many sicknesses that are caused by the demonic. And we'll get into those here in a second. Now, the other thing that the devil always tries to do is affect your wealth. Why is that? I've seen more people, I'll be honest with you, I've seen more people, everyone says rich people are stingy. It's actually, I've seen it more the opposite. Poor people are usually more stingy because they have so little, they're trying to keep a hold of every dime they got. It is true. And it is really sad. You know, it's not always that case, but it is that case. I've seen a lot of rich people stingy too. But the issue comes down to is the devil wants to steal you and put you in financial bondage because then you can't tithe. If you can't tithe, guess what? If you can't tithe, guess what? You will never get ahead of the game. Well, why is that? Because now you're in direct disobedience with the will of God, and now you're the God of your own finances. So now you are subject to the economy of the world, not the economy of heaven. Not only that, you're in rebellion against God. So therefore, when you're living in sin, it's different from just sinning. That was all free. So the devil always tries to attack your wealth. Whenever I see the devil attack my relationship with God, whenever I see the devil attack my family, or the devil attack my wealth or my health, I always take a very aggressive posture in the spirit and bind the devils. I don't sit back and whine or cry. Now, Satan has titles, and I'm going to explain something about titles. Titles and names in the Bible are different from today. We have all different types of names. So your name is? What is it? Aaron, what does that mean? Thank you. Perfect. Derek, what's your name mean?
I don't know.
Okay. No.
Come on. I know what mine means.
Let me see. Alisa, does yours have a meaning?
Yes, it means noble.
Oh. Smarty pants. Smarty pants, I tell you. She looked like she didn't know. That's why I picked her. It's amazing, in our culture, names don't mean anything, but in the Bible culture, they mean everything. In fact, do you remember when the Ark of the Covenant was stolen by the Philistines? Samuel the prophet was sitting on a stool, and they came back and said, your son's dead, and the Ark of the Covenant is dead, has been taken by the Philistines. The prophet fell off his stool and broke his neck and died. The daughter-in-law, who was pregnant, immediately went into labor, had the baby, and named the baby Ichabod. Does anybody know what that means? The presence of the Lord has departed. Names depict events that are happening in the Bible. Anybody ever heard of Peleg? The name Peleg? Do you know what that means? The earth is divided. And historians say that if you could take, when you take the earth and you put it together just like a puzzle, it all does fit. And it was in the time of Peleg, the earth was divided. Ooh, come on now, isn't that cool? Names mean so much. But in America, we don't recognize that. So our culture, when we read the Bible, many times we don't identify with some of the most important principles that are there. Now, these are not all Satan's names, but really what they are is they're names of what he does. So, some of the names. He is the God of this world. That is little g, not big G. Now, that doesn't mean that he owns the world, physical. We know that the earth is the Lord's and everything therein. But he is the little g, or God, over the world system. Now, as we're looking at a very unique moment coming of voting here in November, we are seeing the demonic system work very strongly, preparing the world for the coming of the Antichrist and the one world government, so that the finality and the conclusion of the scripture can come to culmination. Oh, those are a lot of big, good words, and they worked good. They flowed, too. I was really impressed. Jesus. So really, this is the issue, you know, that we're watching the little g work within the world system. You know, ISIS is part of the world system, the diabolical. And let me show you what ISIS introduced that had been eradicated from the earth for the longest period, and that is decapitation. And in the end times, the Bible says that those believers who do not take the mark of the beast will be decapitated. We hadn't seen it for the longest time, and now the little g brought it back into the world system. And you'll see that in the end times. So he is the God of this world, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the mind of them that do not believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. We also know that the prince in the power of the air, that's another one of his names. Now this is the judgment of the world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. John chapter 14, verse 30. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. And it goes on there, John chapter 16, verse 11, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. Satan has the right to kill anybody who is not a believer. He is their God, and he by nature is a murderer. One of the most dangerous things to be is an unbeliever.
And they stand right up and say it.
Yeah, well, the amazing part is everyone believes that God, all unbelievers really believe that God hears their prayers. And that's not true. God is only obligated to hear the prayers of those that are in covenant right with him.
When you say this here, that Satan has the right to kill anyone who's not a believer, you're not talking physical death, you're talking kill soul.
No, I'm talking physically. On this earth, while you're on this earth, if you're an unbeliever, Satan has the right to kill you anytime he wants because he's your God. There are only two gods, big G, little G. Well, a lot of times the devil's not going to kill people because you're his greatest evangelist. Why would he kill his evangelists? Just like why would God kill his evangelists? You know, if you're a pot-smoking, wild drinker out at the bars, he's not going to kill you. He wants you to get as many of your friends as they can. You're his evangelist. But when he's done with you, he's not obligated to keep you alive. He can kill you anytime he wants. What his greater desire is to create families of unbelievers, because then you have generations of unbelievers. And now he's damned generations of humanity, not just singulars. Ooh, come on now. That's good preaching. So a lot of people don't recognize that Satan can do whatever he wants. I call all unbelievers dog food. He can eat you anytime he desires. He has no obligation to keep you alive. It is a dangerous thing to be an unbeliever. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, inasmuch then as the children have partaked of the flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through his death he might be destroyed, that he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. So the devil has the power of death. I've heard people say, God took my baby. God don't kill. God's not the killer. The devil's come to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came that you might have life more abundant. You know, God gets blamed for a lot of stuff that he had nothing to do with. God is good and not bad. So if there's murder and death on this planet, it is not a God thing. God didn't take one of your loved ones. Listen. So I've heard people, I'll address this, who have gotten cancer and died of cancer. And I just talked to somebody the other day. And they said, well, the Lord put this on me, or the Lord took so-and-so. That person had cancer. The Lord put this on me, and, you know, if I die, I die. That means he just wants me home. And I said, wow, is that warped? I had another person tell me, well, you know, the Lord needed them. The Lord needed another angel in heaven. No, he don't need angels in heaven. He needs saints on the earth. We're the salt and the light. If all the salt and the light is gone, who's going to save the lost? Come on now, it's warped. The devil's the killer, not God. Satan is our adversary. 1 Peter chapter 5, 8 and 9. Be sober, be vigilant, because the devil, the adversary, your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in faith. So you and I need to recognize that we have an adversary. He's already defeated. So the only way our adversary can win is if we first do not submit to God. The verse before that says, submit to God, and then it talks about the adversary, to resist him. But you can't resist him if you're not submitted to God. Amen. We have a lot of believers on this planet right now who go to church. I believe, this is my personal opinion. I always tell you when it's my personal opinion. I think a lot of people in church are going to wake up in the wrong location. I really believe that. I believe a lot of people have said their little prayer and done their little dance, but truly are not living for Jesus, and they're going to wake up in the wrong spot. The Bible says if the love of the world is in you, the love of the Father is not. The Bible says, occupy till I come. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The Bible says, if you don't produce fruit, guess what's going to happen? John chapter 15, he's going to cut you off and throw you in the fire. Politically correct, he's not. Jesus is not politically correct. You know, this big mercy thing that everybody's pushing is a bunch of hogwash. That every sin pre, mid, and post is all forgiven already. You don't even need to ask. Just live any way you want. The wages of sin is death. Whoop, and no drink there. I like your purse. Actually, that's a really nice purse.
This is a concealed carry purse.
Oh, that's awesome. I love that. Is it right in the side there?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. We love you. No, don't be sorry. We like guns in this church.
Not in the church.
Oh, bummer. I usually carry mine. So. Oh, I do. We're not ashamed in this house. We're a gun-toting church. So, if you have a permit, you know, it's important to recognize that you do not want to be subject to the devil. So the only way for the devil, the roaring, lying, seeking whom he may devour, can have anything over you is what you give him by not submitting to God. Like, I want to remind everybody, the most dangerous place to be is a believer who no longer responds to conviction. All of a sudden, you no longer respond to conviction. The first time is tough. Second time is easier. Third time is easier. And then all of a sudden, you no longer feel conviction. The day you stop feeling conviction, baby, you better be smart. Go rub your face on the ground and get a hold of Jesus' feet real stinking quick. Because that means you have given an open door to the enemy. And now that you're not responding to the Holy Spirit, now that toothless devil has just grown fangs just for you. Wow, Jesus. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. Revelation chapter 12, 10 and 11. He says that he stands before the Father making accusation before God day and night for all believers. That means he is making accusations about you. He is the accuser of the brethren. This is why gossip is such a powerful sin, because you're actually working for Satan when you're gossiping. Every time you gossip, you're pressing the gospel of the devil. I want to remind you what gossip is. Gossip is bringing up somebody or something that, especially to the person, that has nothing to do with them. If they have no way to fix it, well, I just wanted to pray together. No, you didn't. You wanted to gossip. Mind your business. Y'all got enough crap in our own lives. We don't need to help somebody else. Say amen. Amen. How many of you got at least one issue you know you got to deal with? That you don't want anybody to know about. So now it's easy to point your finger at anybody else. That's gossip. Mind your business. Man, you got enough stuff on your own shelf.
Amen.
So it's important to know that you and I do not want to participate with Lucifer. He is the accuser of the brethren. Satan is also the angel of light. He comes in with deception. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. There are a lot of people that have bought a lie. I had one person say to me, well, you know, the Lord brought this person in my life. Hallelujah. And I said, no, the Lord didn't bring that person in your life. He couldn't bring that person in your life. Why? Because it's not the will of God. Had somebody else say to me, well, the Lord told me to leave my family and go on the road as an evangelist. I said, that's not God. How do you know that? Well, he's giving me opportunity. No, God would never divide your family. Right. Always line up to the word.
Amen.
The devil is sneaky. He'll make sure you get a job on Sunday morning. Yes. Making $2 more.
It's not worth it.
Now you're not in church anymore. You just sold your soul for a buck. Man, I always did it this way. You know, nurses don't always have that option, and guards don't always have that option. But there are a few that don't have that option. The majority of people that skip church on a Sunday morning, usually for dollars, it's a very few dollars. And I always tell whenever my kids ever got a job, it was simple. Whenever I had a job, my parents didn't give me a choice. I worked Mr. Donuts. Remember my? Mr. Donuts. I worked it from 11 to 7 every Friday and Saturday night when I was a teenager. And I would stand behind the counter when all the drunks came in at 2 o'clock in the morning. And they always left really good tips, by the way. I don't know if they remember they left good tips, but they left really good tips. But Sunday morning, I was expected to be in church. I worked all night long, and baby, I was there for Sunday morning service. It's important to recognize that no job, don't let the devil come in and deceive you. Don't let the devil come in with good things. Remember, good things, it's not that a good thing is bad, but it can be bad. If it detracts, the devil will try to deceive you. Okay, here we go. Satan has an organized demonic army. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 through 13. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of the age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in an evil day, and having done all, to stand. Ranks. Satan... Who's misbehaving?
Do they have subtitles for that?
Oh. A lot of people think that Satan is very confused. He is not confused at all. He is very, very strategic. His kingdom is very well organized. Not well organized, very well organized. The Bible here is very clear that there are actually ranks. The word principalities means chief. Powers means magistrate. Rulers of darkness means they have world power. And spiritual wickedness means there are spiritual plots. These are all rankings in the demonic realm. We know that Jesus, and we'll get into that in the next page, there are different demons who have specific jobs. Their whole job is one thing and working it in a person's life. The demonic know who you are. They've been studying mankind for thousands of years. They know weaknesses. This is why when you go to a psychic can tell you your past and your present. How is that? Because the demon's been following you around. Demon knows what you do. He knows your life. He knows what you've experienced. He knows your relatives. He'll talk to that psychic. And that psychic, all of a sudden, now you've just bought into a diabolical plot to destroy your life, because now you're going to give glory to the devil rather than turn your face to God, as God is against the psychics. You see, all of this is so powerful. But the great news, no matter how strategic he is, no matter how organized he is, no matter how big his mastermind plot is, as well as his organized demonic army, if you are born again, Jesus makes the declaration in Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, having disarmed the principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them. That means that Jesus has whooped the devil. And if you're a believer, you have full authority even over Satan himself, according to Luke chapter 10. Amen. So it's powerful. Now let's talk about demons. So we have Satan. We already went through his characteristics. Now we have demon spirits. Demon spirits were created angels who made a conscious choice to rebel against God. And we find that in Revelation chapter 12, verse 4. And it says this, his tail drew one-third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. So Lucifer, when he rebelled against God, as we see in Isaiah chapter 14, as he was cast down from heaven, as he was thrown out of his authority, we know that he took one-third of angelic beings with him. Now, when he took them, they then no longer had opportunity to be God's angels, as we know, as we have on our side, but diabolical, evil, foul, plotting, destructive, stealing, killing, and destroying. That's all they do. Because they have to follow their master. And who is their master? Lucifer. So, there are certain things that demons do, and these different types of demons have different jobs. We know there are spirits of blindness. There are actually demons that cause people to go physically blind. Matthew chapter 12, verse 22. Where is she? She's in here. Where is she? She was blind, but now she sees. There she is. Great testimony, isn't it? She was diagnosed blind. We have the proof. Not just, well, I think I'm going blind. We actually have the optometrist's proof that she was blind. They took her driver's license away. What else happened? Yeah, why don't you give the testimony real quick? Come on up here and give the testimony. I just have to be here for the microphone. They won't hear you on there.
I just questioned the way he was laying hands on people and stuff, so I got a really good answer. And I was waiting to go to my class. Somebody was picking me up to take me there. And on my way there, I started getting vertigo again, which is actually how I ended up losing it. But the reason for it was I realized that I had started seeing everything from the side. I had completely lost the peripheral vision. So I was seeing everything again, so threw my balance all off, all over again. So I couldn't go to the optometrist for a couple of months. So when I went, they did, they call it an OCT and a couple other field tests, and everything was back, and it was actually better than it was before I lost it.
So she not only lost her sight, but when God healed her, it came back even better. And when Brother Ted prayed over her, he bound the spirit of blindness. He didn't just go, boy, I think you're blind. No, he spoke to the demon spirit and commanded the demon spirit of blindness to come off her eyes. And when the demon spirit came off, the demon not only had to come off, but actually when her eyesight returned, it was better than she was before she went blind by that spirit. There are also demons. Their whole job is to cause deafness in people. Mark chapter 9, verse 25. When Jesus saw people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him, and he entered him no more. People that are mute, no longer able to speak, that is a demon spirit. And as they went, behold, they brought to him a man mute and demon-possessed. And the demon was cast out, and the mute spoke. And the multitude marveled, saying, I've never seen anything like this in Israel. We also know infirmities is a demon called the spirit of infirmity. The spirit of infirmity covers a large area. And when you do some studies, one of the things you find about the Voice of Healing Ministries, the Voice of Healing Ministries that were in the 1950s that had phenomenal success with the miraculous, they always declared that any sickness that grew that brought death was always a demonic spirit. Cataracts, a demonic spirit. Arthritis, a demonic spirit. Cancer was always a demonic spirit. Go through the list of all the different things that are alive that bring death. And it's important to recognize that as they dealt with those issues, especially dealing with cancer, David Nunn Sr. had probably the greatest record, and his great ministry dealt a lot with tumors, whether cancerous or any type of tumor. And usually halfway through praying for the sick, they would have to squeegee off, because as he's praying for people, the tumors would fall out of them. Literally fall off and onto the altar in flesh and pus and blood. And they would squeegee off the stage halfway through. Actually, that happened in India 4 years ago, I believe it was, with, I'm almost there. He wrote the book I told you to read on Good Morning Holy Spirit, Benny Hinn. So Benny Hinn, they actually had to, and it's, I believe it's on YouTube, they had to squeegee off the stage because tumors, where they'd be standing, they're getting prayed for, and tumors would drop right off. Yeah, America's, you know. T.L. Osborne said, the place I hate to pray for people the most is America. They have so much doubt and unbelief because they have so many doctors. What's amazing is doctors kill more people a year than double the amount that died in Vietnam. And that's true. Because we forget doctors are practicing. Doctors are great people. We thank God for doctors. You can't not thank God for doctors. God gives wisdom. But doctors aren't the healer. And so what happens is a lot of people put their faith more in the doctor than they do with Dr. Jesus. He's the great physician. And so what happens is we go and we try, you can try to medicate a demon, but guess what happens when you medicate a demon? Nothing. You can't medicate a demon out. So you've got to cast a demon out. So there are different spirits of infirmity. When I said arthritis, we see it here also. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years and was bent over and in no wise could rise herself up. So she had osteoporosis. Now, not all osteoporosis is demons. Americans have really contributed to the opportunity for osteoporosis by drinking caramelized colas because that possesses what's called phosphoric acid. If you're drinking either Diet Cokes or the only root beer, I believe, is the only one that doesn't have it in it, the dark colors. The phosphoric acid goes in and eats away your calcium deposits, and then the more you drink, it starts tapping your bones for calcium. So phosphoric acid is the cause of the younger people right now that we're dealing with osteoporosis. Used to be a very, very old person's disease. Now it's getting to be a young person's disease. And that has nothing to do with demons. That has to do with what we're doing to our bodies. That was free too. Suicide is demonic. And usually you'll find it to be generational. A demon will kill a family member and then hop from one generation to the next generation and try to kill at least one in each generation. We find Mark chapter 9, verse 22, and often he threw him both in the fire and the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Demons also cause mental illness. Now, not all mental illness, and I just want to say this real quickly. There are more people taking antidepressants than ever before. I want to remind you that one of the side effects of many of the antidepressants is suicidal thoughts. You know, we forget that different pharmacias, which is one of the words used for witchcraft, causes a lowering of the girding of your mind, which allows demonic activity in a person's life. Now, what they're trying to do is tell everybody that they are ADD, which there is no such thing, created by a man. ADHD was created by a man. We also know that without question, they're trying to tell everybody that they are, starts with a B, bipolar, which when you study bipolar, there is not one medical study to take that tells you you're bipolar. It's all the opinion of a man. So what we're doing is we're medicating generations. When you start studying the different medications, especially Ritalin was a medication they gave a lot of children. When you study Ritalin, it's a derivative of heroin. It has the same makeup as heroin.
No way.
Yeah, study it. I was just talking to a psychologist the other day. You know, we're dealing with a lot of people that are struggling with mental illness, but really, they're not struggling with mental illness. He says, my peace will remain with you as your mind is stayed on me. But we have a lot of believers that aren't in the Word. They're not spending time in Christ. Therefore, their minds are troubled. And the world puts you on medication rather than put you back in the Word. Now, there are definite people that have mental illness. I'm not saying there is not a such thing as mental illness. There's definitely mental illness. But there's far little mental illness than people are being medicated for. In New York State alone, more antidepressants are prescribed than there are people. That's a lot. So what we're doing is we're medicating. And I'm just going to, my opinion. I'll give you my opinion now. All that was proven. You could look it up. Here's my opinion. I believe one of the greatest attacks of the enemy is on our young people. And what I mean by that is this. The people that they call ADD and ADHD are usually the wild child children, which are usually the leaders of the future. And we're medicating the leadership rate out of them. That's my opinion. I was a very quiet child growing up. Quite reserved, never was punished. Never got in trouble. Ritalin. He wanted to put me on Ritalin in the first grade.
And I said, no, we'll deal with it.
Yep, no, we'll deal with this. So I got my butt whooped. We need a little bit more spanking and less medication.
Amen. Amen.
Wow, Jesus. Just felt the dance come on me. Demons are also deal with different areas of addictions, sexual sins. All of these have demonic activity in them. Addictions have demonic activity in them. Amen. Sexual sins. When you start studying sexual sins, you'll find porneia, which is our word for pornography, and how God has told us. The one thing that Paul said time and time, and I can't even tell you how many times he said it. Maybe I should study how many times he actually. He said, avoid sexual immorality. Avoid sexual promiscuity. Avoid sexual sin. Well, why is that? Because there's a demonic spirit that goes with that. How do we know that? Well, it's always been used in rituals. It's used in satanic rituals. It was used with the rituals dealing with Athena, where when you would go to Diana's temple, they would always have sexual prostitutes that you would have to have sex with before you went up and gave your sacrifice. Sex has always been part of porneia. Now, I want to tell you why the devil has so distorted sex. Well, why? It was because God made it good. Yes. I was hoping for a little bit more amens than that. We got counseling. We can give sexual counseling here, too. You know, God made sex good.
Yes.
Listen, if you're married and the only and there is no sex, then you're just really good roommates. God made sex good.
Amen.
And all the single people said, not yet.
Not yet.
Jesus. We're having revival here tonight. That's all I know. So the devil will always try to warp sex. Oh, I got sinful over there. I can tell with all the chuckling. I don't want to know. Was that you, Diane? It's bad over there. Father, help him. Help him, Jesus. But God made sex good. So what's happened is the devil, you'll find that, I mean, they can now make a vacuum cleaner sexual. Watch a commercial. They'll make soap sexual. How do you make soap sexual? You know, in the hunting community, they make a bow and arrow sexual. It's made to kill something, not to make love with. My wife is the funniest. Because, you know, I'll be watching television, and, you know, I'll see whether it's a hunting paraphernalia or something, and I'll say, wow, that's really good. And all of a sudden, they got this chick showing it off. You know, she's got very little on, especially when you go down to Daytona Bike Week. And she'll say, yep, they don't believe in their product. She's so funny, man. They don't believe in their product. If they believe in their product, they wouldn't have to sell it with sex. But really, you know, this is an issue that we're dealing with right now, especially in church. Especially in church. A lot of men, not only men any longer, it's now a real big woman sin, is pornography. And what you don't recognize is that there's a demon behind that. It's a demonic spirit behind that. It's not just looking at porn. It's a rush. It's chemicals. They say that the dopamine and the, what's some of these other words that are really big? No, not estrogen. That's a big word, but the wrong one. What's the happy one? Serotonin. The serotonin and the dopamine, the release that happens. In fact, the studies are done, and I would encourage you to grab the book. It's called Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage by Gunger. He actually gets into the chemicals that are released, which is very interesting. Sex outside of marriage releases a completely different sexual cocktail than when you're married. This is why people that are having sex outside of marriage, it is not the same as after you say I do, because there's actual chemical change, because there's no sin factor. I've had multiple couples come in my office after living together for many years and have said to me, I think we've lost our fire. Oh, you didn't lose your fire. It's a different fire. You were trying to compare the two. Your sexual sin is not the same. And this is why when you get into that book, one of the things you'll find is he says that many people destroy their marriage sexually by looking at pornography, because it releases a different cocktail and they're expecting that same excitement to be in their marriage. I remember sitting with a couple and saying to them, they were been married many years, and the man sat there and said to me, he says, you know, Pastor, I just want to confess, we've been into pornography for many years, and I want to get it out of my marriage. And I said, amen, brother, and God will deliver you, and we'll pray for deliverance today. It'll break the power of that demon over your life. And the woman looked at me, she says, well, I'm not giving it up. It's no longer a man's sin, it's a woman's sin. So, you know, this is demonic, and the demon is behind that. And so you need to understand. We also know that the cults and the occult. I'm looking at the time. Terry, you made me late. That's all I got to tell you. The occult is very powerful. The Bible says, the Spirit expressly says that in the latter time some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. And that's found in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. There are actually demon spirits that work with false doctrine. We can talk about all the different cults. How about the guys that wore purple sneakers and all killed themselves at the same time? You know, there are cults all over the place. Mormonism, Jehovah's Witness. Oh, my goodness, they're all over the place. I'm not even going to name them all. But those are the two most prevalent in our area. You know, those are cults. They are cults biblically. They do not declare that Jesus Christ is the Lord and God alone. They believe that he is a God or a nice prophet, but they do not believe in the triunity of the Godhead. And if you're a Mormon, what's amazing is they actually believe that Jesus and Satan are brothers, and that Jesus is the good brother, Satan is the bad brother, and that you and I, Jesus became the Savior of this earth, and that all men in this room are another Jesus. And if you become a good Mormon, this is why they baptize and marry all people who die. I didn't know if you knew that or not. They baptize all people that die, and they marry them off by proxy. Because the whole purpose is that you go, there are three heavens in the Mormon religion, that you go to the highest level of heaven with the Mormons, and that you then, as men, become Jesus over the next planet, and that you will have multiple wives so that you can repopulate the earth even as Eve did. That is what they believe. Mormons are huge. How many of you ever slept in a Marriott hotel? They own them. Newfield, you go to the trailer parks, they own them. Mormons are brilliant business people. Billions of dollars. And they get people in those different religions, and they get them. The Jehovah's Witness, they're just bonkers. In fact, the best thing to do is to look at a Jehovah's Witness that comes to your door and ask them if they're a Russellite. They'll get so mad at you. Why? Because Charles Taz Russell was the founder, and they hate him. He was the man that helped, actually, the man that set their doctrine in order. And actually, the men who translated. His name was Knorr, was one of the translators of the New World Translation of the Jehovah's Witnesses. He was actually brought into court and testified and perjured himself because they asked him if he knew Greek, Aramaic, and Hebrew, which are the languages that must be learned to truly translate the scripture. And he said he did, but when they brought up the Alpha, he knew what that was. When they brought up the Omega, he knew what that was. But he knew no other letters within the Greek alphabet, Hebrew alphabet, or Aramaic alphabet, which means that everything they did was out of their own head to translate the New World Translation, which eliminates Jesus Christ as being God, that he is a God, but not the God. And also, what they do is they make the Holy Spirit an it and not a he. Oh, and by the way, if you're a Jehovah's Witness, I have bad news for you. The 144,000 were fulfilled by 1930, and now you can't go to heaven. And actually, if you're a Jehovah's Witness, you can never take communion because only those part of the 144,000 can take communion and or lead the Jehovah's Witness. So, oops, saith the Lord. They had to oops, saith the Lord recently because the last living person of that era died. But don't worry, Jesus came in 1912, 1919, 1923, 1929. So we are actually living in the millennial reign of Christ right now. These are what we call doctrines of demons. Well, that was free. That was Bible college right there. The occult. The occult. Knowing that the spiritual world is very real is important to not to dabble in areas that can put us in a bad spot. Psychics. They are real. They do have real abilities. Their power comes because, remember, there are only two powers, God and or Lucifer. Their information is not coming from the big G, but the little G. People come to me and they say to me all the time, "Oh, Pastor, I went to a psychic and they told me everything. It was right." And I said, "Absolutely, it was right." I said, "But the problem now is they've got you believing them, little G, rather than big G. And big G condemns the little G. And God has said, especially in the old covenant, all psychics were to be stoned to death. They were not of God." I just got a little hint for you. If you've played with a psychic and you haven't yet asked Christ to forgive you and to cast off that prophetic word that they spoke over your life, you need to do that soon. Like I would say tonight. Psychics get their information from a demonic spirit. Psychics cannot tell the future because, again, Satan cannot be in the future. But what happens many times, you can even learn it at Corning Community College, it's called self-fulfilled prophecy, where many people have been given a psychic vision of the future, and they'll actually aim their life towards that and will fulfill that themselves and then agree with the psychic. Psychics are demonically based and should never be gone to. If you've gone to a psychic, you need to repent. You need to ask God to forgive you. You need to break that demonic words over your life. And you need to ask and never go back to them.
Amen.
You need to renounce that demonic influence. Now, they are not mediums between you and your loved ones. They cannot. And many people have gone and said, "Well, I talked to my Aunt Lucy." Aunt Lucy's dead. Aunt Lucy's either in heaven, if she was a born-again Christian, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So a person's born again, they don't go hang around. There are no such thing as people, "Well, there's a ghost in my room." No such thing as a ghost. That's a demon. Because if you're dead and you've been born again, you're going to heaven. If you're dead and you're not saved, you're in hell, and you're not coming out. Somebody said to me, "Well, you know, I was laying in bed and my grandfather came to see me." Not your grandfather. That's a familiar spirit. That's a demon spirit. "Well, I felt comforted." That should scare you. That you felt comforted by a demon. That's that angel of light coming to deceive you. It is important that you recognize that a demon is the only one coming to visit you from the spirit world unless it's an angel from the Lord. And an angel from the Lord will always bring glory to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, let's go through. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 10 through 12. There shall be none found among you, anyone who makes his son or daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft or soothsaying, or one who interprets omens or sorcerers, or one who conjures up spells or a medium or a spiritualist, or one who calls up the dead. For all those who do these things are an abomination to the Lord. You can't confuse that. It's simple. Abomination. Bad. Abomination to the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord your God will drive them out from before you. Don't you dare sacrifice your sons and daughters. Don't practice divination, sorcery, fortune telling, witchcraft, casting spells, holding seances, or channeling with the dead. People who do these things are an abomination to God. It's because of just such abomination practices that God, your God, is driving these nations out before you. So it is anybody who always says to you, well, psychics aren't that bad. Well, we got a local guy down in the town of Spencer. He actually has a church. He calls himself a pastor. He goes all over the place. In fact, I believe he's in Southport next week. He has psychic parties, all in the name of God. Little G. It's important that you recognize this. Demonically based groups, ready? Wicca, they worship the earth. Witches, they are demonic. I've dealt with witches before. We actually have had witches. There's a local coven, a very strong local coven. I don't know if you knew that or not. There's one right here in Horseheads. And everyone, we know this because one of our young ladies backslid, walked away from God, and she joined the coven. And every once in a while, we'll get two or three witches come to the church, and they'll be praying in the back against what God is doing at church. Of course, it's no big deal to us because we have more authority than they have. Warlocks, they're leaders in magic. Well, you know, they're not doing black magic. They're doing white magic. Listen, magic is magic. It's demonic. New Age beliefs entrenched in demonic activity. All over Ithaca, grab a stone, healing stones. All that's satanic. Reiki, they are demonic healers. They're releasing energy. And that's why you should never, ever, 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 could I say that one more time? Ever go to a masseuse and let them touch you without asking them if they practice Reiki. The majority in this area practice Reiki. Not the minority, the majority. In fact, the college in Ithaca and the college up in, where is that one? It's up a little bit more north. No, Cuca, thank you. They actually teach Reiki. That's one of the courses that all of the masseuse people have to take and chiropractors have to take. They have to take Reiki. So they're teaching them. And what is Reiki? It was found by a monk. And what it is channeling demonic power by the laying on of hands. Trying to copy what God has done by the laying on of hands. It's demonic. Covens, group of demonic believers. Ekinar, demonic soul travel. Santeria, Spanish witchcraft. Has anybody ever dealt with Santeria? Had a young man in our church. He was from New York City. His mother would always go to the witch. And one day she was in with the witch, and he wasn't a believer. In with the witch, and he accidentally walked into the curtain. And he watched the witch's face change into the face of a dog. He said it scared him so bad. And he came out here and he said he wanted God, but he never followed through with that. So Santeria is Spanish witchcraft, which you'll find many times down in Mexico, down through the islands, a lot of the islands as well. Native American religion, a lot of people don't realize that. The Native American religion is satanic. They have many other gods besides God himself. There are so many more. Seances, palm readings, Ouija boards, tarot cards, crystal balls, tea leaf reading, fortune telling, some music. spell casting, charms, tools for these activities are all things you should not be involved in or have in your house. It is an open door to your home. The story I tell here, I'm almost done. I'm sorry, I'm gone late. I was in Newfield, and one of the men from the church, I don't know if he was really following the Lord. He was down in one of the trailer parks, and he said to me, "Pastor, things are moving around in my home." And what's amazing is a lot of people in this church that have come out of the world and gotten saved, we usually have to go clean their homes. A lot of people in this church have had a lot of demonic activity in their homes. Things moving around, lights going on, hearing a lot of voices. One of the funny ones was, I'll get back to this kid, but one of the funny ones was Jason Bear. How many remember Jason Bear? He's a singer. He'll be back, I think, for Christmas to do another Christmas concert. But Jason Bear, he came local to another place, and they went up to a Christian camp and stayed at a Christian camp. So there's three of them, him, his drummer, and I believe the guitarist. We're staying at the Christian camp up in Painted Post area. And it was in the middle of the night, and all of a sudden they heard a little child running up and down the hallway. So one of them just got up and looked out. There's nobody in the hallway. And then all of a sudden they heard a woman's voice, and the door of the room, now the doors are just like hotel rooms, so when you open them, they automatically close on their own. The doorknob turned and opened the door, and there was nobody there, but they heard the woman's voice. Yeah, they were crapping bricks, let me tell you. The next day, the cleaners were there, and they asked the cleaners, and they said, "Oh, you saw her too? That's not a woman, that's a demon spirit. That's a demon spirit." Well, this kid, for whatever reason, those demons are allowed to run around at the Christian camp. This guy's at his house, and he asked me to come down because things are moving around in his house. I walked in his house, walked around the corner, and there was a Native American witchcraft stick. And what they do with that, that's part of spell casting. And I looked at him, I said, "Go put that in the shed out back, you'll never have anything move in your house again." He took it out, put it in the shed, no more movement in the house. Well, why? Because that was dedicated for Luciferianism, dedicated for witchcraft, and because it was in his house, it gave liberty for that spirit to come into his house. Be careful what you have in your house. You know those little, what do they call them, dream catchers? Demonic background, man. It's all satanic. You can go through a bunch of stuff. There's a bunch of very interesting things that Christians have in their home that just leave the door wide open for Satan to move in their life. Well, another thing, some of you are watching TV programs, man, that are just so demonic. You're just opening up. Your TV is the gateway to hell into your home. Be careful, little eyes, what you see.
Does that mean if it's in pictures, too, or is it just the dream catchers? Say there's somebody drew a dream catcher with a
picture in it? I personally wouldn't have anything like that in my house. I'd rather have a picture of Jesus. Because remember, what that represents is what is allowed for it to be proclaimed as.
My neighbor has one, and she keeps having demonic spirits.
Oh, absolutely. I had a Baptist preacher one day called me on the phone at 3 o'clock in the morning freaking out. And I finally answered. I avoided it as much as I could. And, I didn't know it was him. And that was just when Star 69 came out. That was a long time ago. And so I finally, Star 69, I was a little miffed because he called so many times. I said, "Who is this?" And he said, "I'm the local Baptist preacher." And he said, "You know, I'm seeing demons, goat heads with flaming eyes coming out of my children's pictures while my children are sleeping upstairs. My wife's a nurse. She works at the Arnett. And, you know, she's not here, but I'm scared. I don't know what to do." And I taught him about the authority in the name of Jesus. And we cast those demons out of his house. And I went back to go. I waited a week. I was going to go get him baptized in the Holy Ghost. And when I finally got there a week later, he had moved to Washington State. I'm not kidding you. We are now, I'm going to end with this. We are now dealing with a major desensitization within our children. What do we mean by that? Right now, we're allowing our children to participate with witchcraft at a very, very young age. And so they are no longer, They are so desensitized against demonic activity that it's no big deal to have a demon active in their life. There's a strong movement to desensitize our children through TV shows and movies. Parents, I don't know when the last time, maybe you just need to do this just for the fun of it. Maybe you don't have kids, but watch cartoons for a morning without your children. See how many spells are cast. See how much demonic activity is being released. How many demons are involved. I mean, our children are so delved in the diabolical, and our schools are just as involved with that. Do you know that Harry Potter was a demanded read? What is Harry Potter all about? It's about witchcraft. Whole thing is about witchcraft. Well, it's just fake. Is it really? Is it really fake? Well, it's not fake to those who actually practice it. It's not fake that they can cast a spell on you. It's not fake that they can time travel. It's not fake that they can be here 1 minute and in China the next minute in the spirit realm. It's not fake that a demon can cause a sickness and a disease. But yet, it's no big deal for our children to read. Harry Potter, Charmed. How many watched the TV program Charmed? I just love that movie, that program Charmed. Really, it was so demonic, man. It was so demonic. Oh, it's just a show. Really, how desensitized are you? Bewitched. Well, that was a long time ago. Twilight, yes. It is amazing these days, and parents don't pay attention. But a lot of parents are involved with it, so why pay attention? You know, this big thing, Twilight. I mean, do you really think there aren't vampires? Do you really think that that's fake? I mean, do you really think that? See, if you really think that that's fake stuff, you're ignorant. Because that's real. That's real practice. That's real people demon-possessed that will drink blood. It's real of zombies. Zombieism is very real. That's not fake. That's real. We're just in the United States, guys. And demons are smart in the States because they're quiet. But in third world countries, they're not quiet, and this is normal. Yes. She just came from there, so she's not talking babble. She just came from Ethiopia. Yes?
They even got the show on TV now, Lucifer. He's not even high. It's Lucifer, the good side, and all of these shows now, they try to make.
How many Christians watch these? How many believers watch this? But they'll skip church on Sunday. But they'll go to church whenever those shows are on. They'll sit there for a two-hour program. If it's back-to-back, they might stay there all day long. But if they go to church for more than an hour, whoa, what's wrong with this preacher? He's going too long. Yu-Gi-Oh cards, Japanese religion, demonic. Cartoons with spell-casting demons. Different books, video games. Oh, my goodness. You know, video games are just powerful. I watched a spirit come on my son, Chad, with one specific video game. And I took that video game from him. It was a PSP game. He became so intense, and you could just sense the spirit on him. And I said, go get me that game. I took the game away from him, and I said, you're never allowed to play that game again. He was 14. And it was 3 months later, he sat down at the dining room table, and I saw that spirit on him. I says, you're playing that game. Go get it for me right now. Where'd you get it? He goes, what do you mean? I says, I told you, go get that game. I can see that spirit on you. And he went up and he got the same game. A friend had given it to him. I smashed that one too. Music. Some of you listen to music you shouldn't be listening to that is straight up demonic. Listen, if you're born again, you don't have to be in fear. You just have to be smart. Because our adversary is defeated. But don't be dumb and play his game. Don't think that you can play with fire and not get burned. You will get burned. If you stick your finger in a mouse trap, you might be quick, 3 out of 4. But on that fourth time, baby, you're going to get hurt. Don't play games. Satan is not playing tennis with your life. I guarantee you this. You need to hear me. Satan is not playing games with your life. If he can get you, he owns you. You can't play games with Lucifer and think you'll win. You can't. Hate evil. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. If you don't hate evil, you don't fear God. If you don't fear God, you're really not smart. Because honestly, don't fear one who can kill the flesh, your physical body. But fear the one who can take your soul. It's not a game. We've got too many Christians playing games. Any questions? I went late. I apologize. It's 9:30 already. Oh, 8:30. I'm sorry. Any questions? Is it all right sometimes that I go this long, or is it too tough? Is it all right? I know that hurts some of you. Yes. Astrology is witchcraft. It's telling fortune by the stars. Astronomy is a science. Astrology is demonic.
I didn't
know. Yes.
You talked about fortune tellers giving prophetic messages and saying self-fulfilled. Can it also, if they say something, can it open the door for a demon to come and make that happen?
Sure can. Sure can. Yes.